Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Agud Devoch. Last week we began learning the parasha of Matan Torah to move us into the mood, into the atmosphere of the time. And now I want to skip Ta'aseret HaDibros. We saw last week, we barely were able to cover two psukim of those packed psukim. Then I want to move over to the Aseret HaDibros themselves and see if we manage to get through one pasuk, two psukim, three psukim. Let's see. So after the very great preamble leading up to this, the whole process of the whole process of Hashem communicating his proposal to the Bnei Yisrael and that back and forth. And if the Klal Yisrael responded with unbelievable enthusiasm, Naseh v'nishma, which the Mefarshim tell us, the Ramban, the Ora Chaim, they tell us that Naseh v'nishma was a spontaneous response that crossed, spanned all of Klal Yisrael. Like, so now we're actually moving on to the Aseret HaDibros. Now, before we do that, I want to take a step back and note something that we say. In the Haggadah, we say, "Ilu kervanu lifnei Sinai dayinu, had Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, that would have sufficed." Now, what's that supposed to mean? What does that mean? Had Hashem brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, that would have sufficed. Now, our understanding, a simple way, it seems like, what happened at Har Sinai? We got the Torah. So what's that supposed to mean? It's kind of like if I tell you, well, yeah, I'm going to give you a ride to the bus stop, but there are no buses there. Like, what would be the idea? And the answer to that is that really, it's a misunderstanding of what actually happened at Har Sinai. Meaning, the Torah was an immense and eternal gift. But what happened at Har Sinai, as we'll discuss, would have been enough to establish us as the Am Hashem for all of eternity. Just what? We wouldn't, the gift of the Torah is what gives us the instructions to a T about how to get furthest, how to perform Hashem's will to the utmost without any, every last detail in terms of earning Hashem's utmost favor. Har Sinai would have brought us into his fold and would have imbued us with that fire, just we would have had to navigate our own path. But let's appreciate that point. Let's appreciate what exactly happened at Har Sinai. So, as we discussed last week, the Bnei Yisrael, after seeing everything that happened in Mitzrayim, after seeing how all of nature is melting away before Hashem, like David HaMelech describes it, Hayom like, nature is just melting away, and we're understanding that he's taking us to him. And they said, we want to meet Hashem. What happened at Har Sinai, if we're going to put it into very simple words, and this is what we mean when we say Dayenu, is that unbelievable rendezvous of Hashem, as it's described, whatever it means, opening up all the Shivarikim, opening up the highest of places, and basically introducing himself to each individual. And so to speak, Hashem is saying, let me introduce myself. I am Hashem. It was the experience, as we'll be discussing, was so intense that words can't be found to describe it. But that was something that, as Chazal tell us, it was so intense that the Bnei Yisrael just, well, dropped dead in terms of the electricity of the experience. Now, let's understand something. That dropping dead, it was a dropping dead of a thrill, meaning the if you hear about a person who suddenly got a shocking piece of good news, Khalil, you hear about such things. A person suddenly heard that, I don't know, whatever you fill in the blank, but like the most stupendous news that anybody could ever hear. And then Chas v'Shalom, they're just they're, from the shock of it, you know, they drop dead. There are such things. What's that? heart failure or whatever it is, talking in a theoretical way. I don't think it happens every day. People also don't hear such stupendous news every day. But they're worried about that with Yaakov Avinu. Right? They want to be careful how to break it to him. You know, that Yosef's still alive. So we're talking about something where the thrill and the inspiration was too much for the human capacity. But whatever the case is, it was this experience of Hashem coming and revealing himself to them and saying, in a personal way, that rendezvous of I am your God, meet me, was something that was really what set our nation on fire, right? And that was what continued the momentum all throughout the generations of Klal Yisrael's loyalty to Hashem. And yes, about that, we say that Hashem simply left it at that. And we would have had a relationship with him based on that. And we would all be figuring out what exactly we're supposed to do as a result. And we do the process of the Chivas Halvavas in terms of, logical loyalty. That would have been plenty. Just that then Hashem came and gave us that much more and said, and here I'm actually going to clue you in on as to how every last detail in terms of earning my favor and getting yourself close to me. And that those are the mitzvahs of the Torah.
But by giving us the instructions, then comes this, like in the Shema, if you follow them, great, and if you don't, then I punish you. If we didn't have those instructions, would we have that reward and punishment system? Would he
Not to
punish
the
us?
same level. He probably would still punish us, but everything would be on a lower scale. Right? Okay. So now, if we can appreciate that, let's actually move into the Aseret HaDibros themselves. It's like the Kuzari says, just one last comment, like the Kuzari says that our faith is based on, it's not based on philosophical study, it's not based on theology, it's based on the fact that we met him. Right? That is the basis of the Jewish faith. We met him as a nation. That's what it all stems off. And the experience is actually still alive today in the people. So now, let's actually move on to the Aseret HaDibros. This is the next parak, which starts as follows. Vayedaber Hashem, it's called Hadvarim Ha'ele Lemor. Vayedaber Elikim, sorry. It's called Hadvarim Ha'ele Lemor. Hashem spoke all of these things as follows. Now, we're already going to note something right here at the beginning, a certain dynamic. And that is that here it says Vayedaber Elikim, it's called Hadvarim Ha'ele Lemor. Elikim is din, right? And how does Hashem actually express it? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Yudke Vavke, which is the Midah of Rachamim. So right away, there's a very important dynamic here that's being laid down. And that is that our relationship with Hashem is a blend of Din and Rachamim, and we have to appreciate that because one without the other is an imbalance. One without the other is an imbalance. And I'll put it the way the Maharal put it. Or Achaim, it's his way of putting it, but this is very fundamental. We're told by Chazal that Hashem suspended a mountain over the people and said, if you don't receive you don't accept the Torah, here's where you're going to be buried. So the immediate question is, what do you mean? What is it? How did they respond when they were offered the Torah? They said, Na'aseh v'nishma was the most enthusiastic, positive response that can be. So why the mountain? And does it mean that he held the mountain over in the first place? And then they said, Na'aseh v'nishma. And what's the value of the Na'aseh v'nishma? Anyone would say Na'aseh v'nishma if they see a mountain hanging over them. The answer is that no. Here's how the Maharal puts it down. He says as follows. Our relationship with Hashem is primarily, it's the way a parent-child relationship is meant to be. It's primarily a relationship of love, primarily a relationship of dedication. And what Hashem wanted is that they should take it from a place of love, from a place of enthusiasm. That's what he wanted. And therefore, he came, he proposed, and he got the nachas. That what we did rise to the occasion. We responded right. We responded with a very intense, whatever it is that Hashem wants from us, we want in. We want to be his people. It was the most enthusiastic cry ever made in history, right? But then the Maharal says there's room for a mistake because then, okay, we'd move into the process of Torah and mitzvahs. So that the impression the whole time would be we chose this It could have been otherwise. So the Maharal says that after this was established through that love, with that enthusiasm, Hashem now came and showed them that I want you to realize that actually there really wasn't any choice. You made the right choice. But now, if you said Na'aseh v'nishma, look up. Oh, whoa, there's a mountain hanging here. We would have been buried. In other words, the importance of the realization that it's a relationship of love, but it's a relationship in which you're bound. You're bound. There's no alternative. And not realizing that is an imbalance in the relationship. And this is why Rebbe went through Bichul Kosai. Nobody, it's not pleasant to hear all the klolas that are read out. But those klolas are making a statement that that is that my relationship with you is can't be changed. If you're going to rebel against it, you're going to meet up with all kinds of trouble, but it's there, and I'm going to force you into it. Just the primary dynamic of the relationship is meant to be one. Well, we don't come to that. It's in the background, but we don't come to that. Experience is an experience of love and enthusiasm. That's the way we serve Hashem. It's our relationship with Hashem. But yet, it's important to realize your relationship with Hashem would not be complete if you didn't realize that you are absolutely committed to Him. And therefore, it is this combination of Elohim on the one hand. Hashem is saying it is Elohim, meaning you're in this, whether you like it or not. But on the other hand, this really is about love, and it's about racham, and it's about yud kei vav.
Doesn't that also tie into the Torah then? Because if you're a Reform Jew, you just love Hashem and you do how you feel, and when you have the Torah and you have to follow, then you're a lot more focused on what the other party, what Hashem wants.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. And that's also why the pasuk says, "Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'eloheim." Hashem said all of the following things. Meaning, why is the all being stressed here? It comes back to what you said. The Or HaChaim says this, that Hashem's saying, this is an all-inclusive package. I'm not giving you a list of suggestions. You choose what appeals to you and what's nice. It's all or nothing. And nothing means you're off the you don't exist, right? So that is the package. It's called Avraham Eli. It's one unit, one immovable unit. Okay, now let's move into Hashem's actual statement. And here, these are really the most hair-raising words that human being ever heard in history. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Like we said before, this is Hashem Kiviyochol personally revealing himself to each individual. It's said here in the singular, right? Elokecha, in the singular. I am your personal God. Meet me. Now let's understand something. This is the first of the 10 commandments, right? The truth is, it doesn't sound like a command, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And some say that it's not. Some say that this is really just an introduction to the Aseret Dibros, and you have to count it a little differently as you go along. But that is not the accepted consensus. The accepted consensus is this is mitzvah number one, and this is the most fundamental of all mitzvahs. This is the mitzvah of emunah. So what exactly, where is the command here? So we have to understand the following. The command is, this is your reality, meaning as follows. If you're hired for a job, and the boss tells you the address is XYZ, and here are the expectations. Okay. The address is expectation number one. Right? Everything that's happening is going to be happening in that address. Right? They say, I'll be there at 9, but not at the address you told me. Right? Expectation number one is be there at 9. You leave at 5, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. The guy doesn't show up. He says, I was there at 9, but I didn't come to that address. I came somewhere else. Right? So when he tells you the address, that is the all-encompassing command. Everything that we're talking about takes place here. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha is establishing this is now your reality. This is now everything about your life. Everything else is going to fit into this picture. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is now going to be the reality guiding every moment of your life. This is what you're going to be living with. That me and you have this relationship. Everything else fits into that picture. So it's about living with the conviction. That's really the command. This is meant to be defining your life from now on. Say an anecdote I sometimes tell about Rabbi Chazkel Avramsky. Rabbi Chazkel Avramsky was a very great personality. Okay, to start giving these grades, but he, when he still lived in communist Russia before he got out, he was a Rav and he was arrested. And yeah, he gave them a hard time. He was actually sentenced to death. It was all nicer. Then they commuted it to life in Siberia. And then they got him out. He ended up in England. But whatever the case is, he was arrested and he was not one to back down. Like he stood for what he stood for. And like when they first brought him in and they said to him, they started interrogating him, they said, "Do you know why you're here?" So he responded, this is what here's how he responded. He said, "Yes. You brought me here because you think that I think differently than you think I should be thinking." Okay, I'll say it a little slower now. But that really is what encompasses crime in communist Russia. You decide what I should be thinking, right? And that's what you think, right? And you think that I don't think that way, and that's why you're schlepping me in here. You think that I think differently than you think I should be thinking. That was his answer to that was how the interrogation started. But whatever the case is, the interrogator, you know, there was a whole science to the interrogation itself. They used a lot of intimidation. They had this bear of a man, a big mountain of a man, and the way where you have the prisoner sitting on a chair, and this huge interrogator standing over to him and roaring into his face. It was meant to just, you know, totally shake the person into losing all of his composure. So this massive, you know, Russian bear is standing over him and roaring into his face. And Chazkel Avramsky is looking at him like with this nonchalant indifference. So this guy wasn't used to that. You know, everybody trembled when he spoke. So he said to him, "Did you not hear me?" He roared. Okay, the whole room heard him. And Chazkel said, "I had a hard time hearing you." Said, "What? Hard of hearing?" He said, No, you were talking loud, but there was an even louder noise in the background that made it hard to hear." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That I was hearing a much louder voice saying the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and it just made it hard for me to hear what you were saying." There's a lot of depth there. Meaning, in terms of my reality is, it's a moment-to-moment, second-to-second reality. You, as big as you are, you know, you're maximum 3.5 feet wide and 7.5 feet tall, okay? But that's all. You are a tiny speck in my picture. You barely make it onto the radar." This is how he's relating to it. Because of that reality of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But let's see quite what these words involved. Appreciate what these words include. So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, every word in these psukim is packed. But there's a very poignant point, a lesson being conveyed here. The difference between Anochi and Ani, what's the difference between the words Anochi and Ani? Both of them mean I am, right? What's the difference between Anochi and Ani? Anochi, the connotation of Anochi is more, this is who I am. Ani could be a little more technical, meaning, say I'm going to the store. Okay, you wouldn't use the word Anochi. Anochi, I'm going to the store. It's like Ani, Ani olech lachanut, right? I'm going to the store, right? But if you say, I am so and so, you'd use the word Anochi, okay? This is who I am. Now Hashem is coming and saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what he's actually saying is, Kviyachu, I'm taking on a new identity now. Meaning, we'll put it like this. If you were to ask Hashem, Hashem, what is your title? Hashem, what is your title? What would you expect Hashem to say? What do you do? Right? Okay. What would you expect Hashem to say? I run the world. That would be the natural expectation that that's what Hashem would say. But that's not what it says on his card. His card says, "You see those people, the B'nai Yisrael? I'm their God. I also run the world, but that's a side job. That's not my main occupation. I'm busy with the universe. I maintain the galaxies. You want to know who I am? What is my most immediate title? How do I define myself? How do I present myself? Those people, I'm their God. That's my pride. That's my identity. And this is what Hashem is saying to them, to each Jew now. You want to know what my definition is? My definition is that I am the Elokei of you. That's how I identify myself. That's how I identify myself. And this is something, again, it's being said to each of us in an individual way. It was said to each of us at Har Sinai in an individual way. Some of us were there already clothed in a body. Most of us weren't, right? But this message was being said to each of them. Now the whole story of history is about me and you. The whole story of history. Because as far as Hashem is concerned, this is the story of his world, as we discussed last week. The story of my world is my relationship with you. And then he goes on and says, Asher hetzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, mibeis avad. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So here again, we come back to the point that we were making before. Kuzari asks the question, and here it's very interesting, seeing that Eben Ezra and the Kuzari were Mechutanim and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And there's a whole piece in Kuzari about this, but Eben Ezra, he says, Yehuda Halevi asked me this question, and here's the answer I gave. It's very interesting. The two, they line up. But the question is, why did he say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim? Why didn't he say, we come back to what we said before, why didn't he say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha v'ani asisicha, I created the world, right? The world is mine. But the answer is that this is what Hashem is saying. Hashem is saying, I am the one who personally revealed myself to you through that whole process. You already know me when I put you through that whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I'm coming on that basis. I'm not coming on the basis of I created the world. That would obligate all of mankind, but that's not what I'm after now. I'm after now my very specific people, the ones who mean that to me. I could have the whole world. I could have the whole world, but that's not who I want. You're my people, so to speak. You're my family, so to speak, right? And what this is about is the personal experience between you and me. I took you out of Mitzrayim. And it's on that basis that I want you to serve. And it's also more than that. This is really what commits you to me. You were a slave race. That was going to be your eternal destiny. You have to realize, if you look at another Jew and you see a respectable, dignified, successful person, you're seeing the nays of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you want to see what we should have looked like, go find pictures of the lowest African races. And that would have been us. Our fate in history would have been tied up with the lowest castes of the slave races in Africa. So look at yourself in the mirror. You're seeing, Asher etzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. And therefore Hashem says, I took you to me, and therefore you're committed to me. Therefore you're committed to me. So there's two elements in the Asher etzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. First of all, that's what makes you mine. And second of all, it's all based on the personal experiences that we've had together. And we add, mibeis avodim. I took you out of Egypt, and I took you out from the house of slaves. Here, Hashem is adding another point. I made you into a superior people, meaning usually, if you pull slaves out of slavery, they don't look very respectable. We talked about this back before Pesach. You yank a slave out of slavery, so you see a person with tattered clothing and with a broken chain on his foot, right? That's what a slave out of slavery looks like. And he's still going to be with slave mentality for a long time. But Hashem says, when I took you out of Mitzrayim, I took you out of the whole stigma of slavery. I took you out in a way that you walked with your heads held high, bedecked with riches and jewelry, with the whole Mitzrayim looking up at you like this. It was a totally different identity. There was nothing left of your slave identity in the way I took you out. I totally broke that stigma.
But he put them into slavery to begin with. It's like, okay, so you took me out, but you made me a slave to begin with, number one. And number two, didn't a bunch of them not leave? They wanted to remain slaves. Didn't wasn't there a like a large percentage that didn't leave? They wanted to stay slaves.
So he's talking to the ones who did leave, right? Those people who wanted to stay, they're at this point buried, scattered in graveyards around Mitzrayim. As far as the first question goes, it's true, he brought them into Mitzrayim in the first place. But the time they went out, they were thanking Hashem not only for having taken them out of Mitzrayim, but for having put them through this process in order to be able to get introduced to him in this way. Meaning, they had to. In order for them to really enter a relationship with Hashem, they had to go through that whole process. We discussed this before Pesach, but Hashem brought them to the lowest of places in order to catapult them up high so that they really had the full effect. So at this point, they were saying, if you would just bring us back to square one, this was they actually said this to Hashem, if you just bring us back to square one, we don't want to continue living. Meaning, this is not, it took the form of going out of Mitzrayim, but what it really was getting to appreciate who Hashem is and what it means to have an opportunity to be connected with it. Once they tasted that, right after the Chet HaEgel, and Hashem said, okay, fine, I'm going to let you live, but I'm not going to continue to reside among you. I'll send you some Malach. Moshe said, no, then just bury us here. And once they had that taste, they said, we can't imagine life without that connection. Then Hashem goes on and says, for us, we see the prohibitions against idolatry. They used to, okay, so how relevant is that to us? We understand that in earlier times it was a great struggle, it was a great challenge. That's what the Bnei Yisrael proved their loyalty by overcoming all of the temptation that Avodah Zarah involved. But for us, like, okay, Avodah Zarah is well outdated. What's that?
Today or power
Oh, okay.
or something else
So the truth
that
is that
would
when you get to the concept of Avodah Zarah, you're right. There's plenty of other things that people can worship. But even if we'll just talk about Avodah Zarah in the simple sense, seeing the way Hashem formulates the Isser of Avodah Zarah holds immense relevance for us. And let's pay attention to that. So Hashem says, Lo yelcho Elohim acherim al panoi. Okay. I want to move on to Pasuk Hey. And then we'll back up if we still have time, back to Pasuk Gimel. But the Pasuk can read like this. Don't have any other gods on my face. Meaning, if we just simply understood, in my presence. Find somewhere where I'm not, and then gesundheit. Right? That's how Rashi says it. Lo yisa aselecho pesel. It's fine. He describes all the different conceivable forms of Avodah Zarah, heavenly bodies, earthly bodies, but then he goes on and says the following. Don't worship them, don't bow down to them. And now listen to this. Again, Hashem Elokecha, Kel Kana. I am Hashem your God, and I am mightily jealous. Okay? I'm not going to be focusing on that part of the pasuk right now. But let's focus on this part. Because I am Hashem, your God. I am a kel kana. I am jealous as in kel, meaning when I'm jealous, it's not just resentment. Kel means immense power, right? If you get me to that place, chas v'shalom, it'll come down with immense power. So, first of all, the Mefarshim say, basically, many of the Mefarshim make this point, but if you really want to get the full effect of it, it's in the Or HaChaim. And he says, where do we find the concept of jealousy? What? Oh, Cain and Hevel was in the simple sense. What? Oh, so all these were examples of jealousy, but like the epitome of jealousy in a general way is between husband and wife, right? As we also find in the parasha of Soita, but jealousy as in, if I'm totally invested in you, don't betray that. Don't betray that, right? Be totally invested in me. This is what Hashem is expressing to Bnei Yisrael now. You have to appreciate the type of relationship I'm setting up with you. And the Ramban and others point out that we don't find the term kana relevant to any other Aveira except Aveda Zara. Because Hashem is saying, appreciate the type of relationship I'm setting up with you now. If you appreciate the intensity of what I'm investing in this relationship, you'll understand that for you to go and turn your attentions anywhere else is going to arouse that sort of jealousy, the jealousy of the very, very deep lover who sees the love being betrayed. And the way the Aruch Chaim puts it down is, he says, "Hamavchin oifen dvikus nefesh in bnei Yisrael ma'boreh b'chafitzah v'chashika b'dvika ba'avah rabba yasek is b'nei nusavuskol." He says this way of Hashem formulating it is meant to reflect to us the intensity of Hashem's connection with us. If I'll translate that into English, it's hard to translate into English. But he says, if you properly understand the intense soul connection between the Boire and Klal Yisrael with Cheshek, okay, I don't know, with I translate into English. With cheshek, with chefetz, with desire, with longing, kiviyachol, then you'll appreciate this formulation, the way Hashem is putting it down. And he adds another point. He adds another point. He says, or it's again saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? Why don't you just say, Ki anochi, ki ani kel kana? You know, I am jealous. He said, well, no. Again, appreciate that I am now designating myself. It's not just that I'm the God of the entire universe and you're one of my subjects. My primary identity now is Elokei Yisrael. My primary identity now is Elokei Yisrael. This is how much I'm investing in you. I am dropping all the malachim. I'm dropping, meaning they're going to be on a back burner now. I'm moving them to a back burner. I'm moving the whole universe to a back burner because, kiviyachol, I'm totally invested in a relationship with you. Again, my identity as Hashem Elokecha, I designated myself as your exclusive God. I have no other interests. I have no other interests. That's why again it's repeated, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am putting kiviyachol all the weight of everything I want out of the Bria on you. Don't betray that. Don't betray that. Because if you do, it'll be a steer to the entire Bria. The entire Bria will fall apart. Because it's all just revolving around that. And that's why it's Kel Kana. It'll come down with might and intensity. Here, it's like Chazal say, in other areas, you might find me to be more forgiving. Not here. Not if you're betraying the relationship that I'm establishing with you. And one more point from the Aruch Chaim, and here I'm backing up to Pasuk Gimel. Lo yeh lecha elohim al panoi. Don't have any other gods on my face. Like we said before, the simple understanding of on my face means in my presence, in my where I see it. Like we said before, find somewhere where I don't see it. And there you're welcome to do it, right? But Aruch Chaim says, Al Panoi means the way I'm setting things up now is that you are my representation in this world. Right? I have a world, not the whole world knows me. You are now going to be carrying, so to speak, my presence in this world. Through your lives, through the way I conduct your affairs, and through the way you live your lives, you are carrying kiviyachol the face of Hashem. Hashem can be seen by the world around through your mitzvahs, through your lives, through your emunah. You are bringing Hashem out to the world. So therefore, my face is supposed to be reflected on that. Don't take my face. You are my face in this world. Don't put anything else there. Don't smear my face with something else. I'll end with the mashal that Shimshon Pinkas said, that he said that said there was a certain sefer that wrote that the Oyvda with Zara, the pagans will be able to tell that you know they might come and try to incur a certain limud zchus, like to tell Hashem, listen, we meant to do the right thing. We just thought that this was you. We thought this was God, right? They'll talk about whether they talk about the son or the mother or whoever else, or right? They say, we thought that was you. So this sefer said, like, they'll have a certain excuse. We thought it was you. So Shimshon Pinchas says, no. He says, imagine the mashal like this. So if you have a person who goes around and parades as the king, shows up in a town, presents himself as the king, and all the townspeople bow down to him. It turns out that he was an imposter. King comes with tainus, wants to execute the people of the town. How can you bow down to someone else? And they tell him, well, he said he was you. Okay, fine. But what happens if someone comes with a pig on a leash, parades him through the town, and says, this is the king? And everybody says, oh, okay, so we're going to bow down. The pig, who's all smeared and everything the pigs are smeared in, right? And he's oinking away, and everybody's bowing down. And then the king comes and says, how could you bow down to something else? And he said, we thought that was you. You thought that was me? That's going to get you off the hook, right? That's just going to get you into deeper water. Right? So that's what Rav Shimshon Pinchas says. You're coming and saying you thought that was me. So Hashem is saying to us now, you're meant to be the ones bringing me out. Don't smear something else cheap and disgusting on instead of that. Okay, we scratched the surface of this inexhaustible subject. But halavai that at this level, on our level, we should be zeichet to getting the greatest effect we can as a Hashem.
Thank you.
Okay.
So next week is Erev Shavuos, so
All right.
we're not going to have this year.
Yes.
We'll be out here. We're going to be